The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare, called Your Best Healthcare Now. It is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the former editor of Money and George magazines, and he usually has something to say, so here he is to say it. Hi, Frank.
Hi. How are you doing, Jill?
I won't complain.
Okay.
But I could.
No, we all could, I think, these days. Well, you know, last week we talked about the public health crisis of gun violence, and I said last week, give me a little time. I'm going to do some digging into the history of gun control in the United States, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to explain how we got into this mess despite our nation's long history of gun control. So I'm the healthcare detective, so I did a lot of detecting this week with the help of Adam Winkler's book, Gun Fight. I took a deep dive into the history of guns in America, and I learned a lot of facts that flat out contradict much of the hogwash we've been fed by the Second Amendment gun pusher lobby for the past 30 years. Back in 1991, former Supreme Court Chief Justice Warren Burger, now he was a conservative Nixon appointee, called out the gun lobby as liars. He denounced their claim that the Second Amendment was meant to protect an individual's right to own guns as, quote unquote, one of the greatest frauds on the American public. So here are the facts about guns in America. First off, guns were rare in early America, and the founders maintained a strict gun control culture grounded in the true intent of the Second Amendment. The founders added the Second Amendment to the Constitution to allow the states to arm and regulate state militias for the common defense, not to arm individuals for themselves. Also, in this little history, I'm going to tell you the real story of Paul Revere's midnight ride that you learned in school. I'll tell you what was really going on. Also, why the southern states in particular enforced strict gun control throughout the 1800s. And why the Wild West was never as wild as all those Hollywood Westerns we grew up on. And I'll tell you why the federal government banned the first weapon of war, assault gun, in the 1930s with the full-throated support of the National Rifle Association. Yep, the NRA. So, Jill, you ready for a little history?
I am.
Okay.
Because it sounds like it's going to be real history instead of some of the hogwash that we have been
This is the real stuff. This is actually what happened. This is the real stuff. So, you know, look, we have a gun control culture deeply seated in America. But over the decades, the recent decades, people have come to believe that they need guns to protect themselves and their families. And there are several reasons for it. I trace it back to the 1960s with the assassination of John F. Kennedy and then Martin Luther King and then Robert Kennedy. It was bad times. It was followed by the menace of the Black Panthers and others arming themselves for self-defense and marching around with guns. A lot of people started to do that. And finally, the drug-fueled crime wave of the 70s. It was bad times. The NRA turned on a dime in 1977 from a sane hunting and sport outfit to a shill for the gun makers, stoking the fear that you need guns to protect yourself. Fear-mongering works. NRA membership tripled nearly overnight, and so did its political power in the Republican Party to erode our gun controls and sell more guns. Couldn't be any clearer than that. From the 1980s on, our gun history got increasingly grim. In 2004, President W. Bush let the assault ban weapon expire after 10 years, and much worse, 4 years later. Right-wing Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia twisted the original meaning of the Second Amendment and gave individuals the constitutional right to own and carry guns. And with the Supreme Court's green light, firearm sales have exploded to more than 20 million guns a year. 20 million! The gun makers are collecting over $100 million a year alone by selling military assault rifles, largely to young men, and we know the rest, including to mass murderers, some as young as 18. So now we have a public health gun violence crisis. 45,000 Americans dying each year, including two mass shootings a day at schools, stores, parades, churches, synagogues, anywhere people gather innocently in our 50 states. And all this gun carnage can be traced to one big lie about gun control in the 13 original colonies. So, Jill, I ask you again, you ready for some facts about our founders?
Sure.
Okay. Overwhelmingly, the founders did not want ordinary citizens to own a gun. They wanted the state leaders to form well-regulated militias to protect the states from a tyrannical government. That's the lesson they learned from the Revolutionary War. Why did Paul Revere go riding around at midnight in 1774 to warn people that the British army was coming? Because he learned that the British were coming to confiscate the guns and ammo that the militias had secretly stashed in Concord, Massachusetts. Oh, and by the way, Revere didn't shout out his warning, you know, one if by sea, two lights by land, sea at the church. He didn't shout out. He didn't shout that out at all. The countryside was filled with British loyalists.
Right.
So he rode around and whispered it to his militia friends.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a little bit alluded to, I hate to say this, in Johnny Appleseed, in the fiction around it.
Right.
Because of course you wouldn't do it, but I don't know how it was ever taught. I was just like, I mean, of course you wouldn't run around doing that.
It was taught that he shouted it on top of his lungs, but that didn't happen. He just went to one militia house after another and said, "Hey, they're coming. Make sure those guns don't get picked up by the British." And then years later, the 13 original states voted about gun ownership rather formally, and only two colonies, that was Vermont and Pennsylvania, chose to allow their citizens to own guns, to enforce that in their laws, to allow it in their laws. The other 11 said individuals could only own guns as members of a well-regulated militia for, quote-unquote, the common defense, not self-defense. Then into the 1800s, the early settlers enforced strict gun controls, especially the southern states, that feared their slaves would get their hands on firearms and revolt. And some did. An armed revolt in New Orleans in 1811 ended with 95 slaves killed by the Louisiana militia. And those fears got worse in the South after the Civil War, when freed slaves returned home with their Union rifles. So Southerners formed a little outfit called the KKK, Ku Klux Klan. And it was a gun control outfit. They rode to black homes in the middle of the night in white sheets as the ghosts of Confederate soldiers looking for guns. By law, those free slaves had to work 6 days a week, could not vote, and could not own a gun. And when the KKK found a gun in a black home, you know what happened. They tortured the offender. They lynched the offenders in front of their families. At least 5,000 of these freed slaves were lynched after the Civil War. And then there's the Wild West of the late 1800s. Wow. Turns out it's largely a figment of Hollywood imagination. There's no doubt that many more cowboys died on the movie screen rather than in the real, not-so-wild West. Yes, there were plenty of cowboys, marching around with holsters and their six-shooter revolvers. There was plenty of that. But they also obeyed the West's widespread gun control laws. Cowboys routinely had to hand over their guns to the sheriff before they could enter town, and certainly before they could get into the saloon and start drinking. Wyatt Earp is a case in point. Wyatt Earp and his two brothers shot down three bad guys in the most famous shootout in the Wild West, the shootout at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona in 1881. Well, here's what really happened. One of Wyatt's brothers was the sheriff, and the Earps came to town to disarm the bad guys under Tombstone's gun control ordinance number 9. Okay, so the real story of the most famous Wild West shootout is actually a tale about America's gun control culture. By 1907, by the way, nearly every state had prohibited the carrying of concealed weapons. But 20 years later, things started to go bad. Criminals had organized into gangs to bootleg liquor during Prohibition, and they armed themselves with a World War I military assault rifle, the machine gun, often called the Tommy gun. The public finally had enough when Al Capone's men, disguised as cops, stood seven rivals against a warehouse wall in Chicago and massacred them with two Tommy guns on Valentine's Day, 1929. America's real cops realized they were outgunned, and finally, in 1934, federal lawmakers passed a massive gun control law, effectively banishing machine guns with the support of the NRA. It included registrations, fingerprinting. It was a sweeping law, and it was renewed a couple of years later. We had federal gun control law and a strict one. But little by little, our sweeping gun control laws have been eroded. Now in half the states, buying a gun is as easy as buying a pack of cigarettes. Maybe it's easy. You usually aren't even required to get training to carry a deadly concealed weapon. And the rest is inevitable. I mean, gun violence is five times worse in the states with lax gun laws or no gun laws at all, practical matter, compared to states with strict gun safety like Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. But that's at least until the wrongheaded Supreme Court gets around to gutting these local laws that protect us, like it just did to New York City's 100-year-old life-saving concealed carry law. So what does America's gun history tell us? America has a deep-seated tradition of gun control. But in the past 30 years, the gun lobby and its bought and paid for Republican lawmakers and right-wing judges have invited gun makers to flood us with guns and gun violence. The more guns, the more gun violence. So today, as I said, guns kill 45,000 Americans each year, half by murder and suicide, murder and accident, and the rest by gun suicide, a very efficient way to kill yourself. And nothing will change. Nothing will change until the Republican lawmakers blocking even the most sensible gun safety measures get voted out of office. So I have a message from a little history lesson today. Vote. Vote like your life depended on it.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and on my desk.